But that was a game where Anaheim, they'll take the point and see you later. Wow. You're just ecstatic that you got to overtime because they had no right to get a point last night. The Leafs were dominated, really, from start to finish. And here is the head coach of the Maple Leafs. Here's Sheldon Keefe back on Overdrive. How you doing, Sheldon?
I'm well, thank you. Good to be on, guys.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. As always, we've been talking about that game last night, and we're wondering your frame of mind behind the bench because it didn't feel like a 4-3 win for you guys. You control play all night. You dominated all night. The chances, the shots, every metric would have suggested that was a regulation win, but it wasn't. So how do you review it? You know, in retrospect, you look back on it, bit of a grind. You end up losing a 3-1 lead again, but I'm sure you're pretty happy with your group last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to be too excited when, you know, once again, you have a lead and you give that up. You know, but both in how I felt through the game and being on the bench and then watching it back today, you know, it's not too much for us to be too upset about there, other than the fact that we just didn't make good on our opportunities at 5-on-5 to really build a substantial lead and blow the game open. You know, and then there's mistakes inside of that, right? I mean, as the 3-2 goal, it, you know, just after scoring on the 5-on-3, like, that's one you just can't give up. You know, we've got to be more aware there and got to be better there. And coming out of a timeout, I put a lot of that on myself, is just keeping our guys sharp and aware in that moment. But, you know, and then they're making little mistakes along the way. But overall, I just thought we played a good hockey game and put ourselves in positions to have success and to win the game. So I think ultimately getting the extra point in the shootout is warranted and deserved in this case. So, you know, we'll take the game and continue to work to clean up those little details that don't hurt us in the end, regardless of whether or not we're building our lead and making good on those chances.
So, Sheldon, you play in a market where if you go out there and change up the lines, it's the lead on SportsCenter. So you got to take us through. Everybody's talking about these new lines. The team's playing well, but Sheldon Keefe decided to change up the lines. Take us through your thought process of doing that.
Well, really, I mean, the biggest thing is that it's the first time really the entire season that we've been healthy, and I'm trying to think back. We went into Edmonton and played. We were close to healthy there. Just prior to that, obviously we lost Marner. These games feel like forever ago, but you know, we having Mikheyev back and kind of getting through the worst of this COVID situation now, and felt like our forward group is healthy. So it's, you know, I've had things that I've wanted to look at really since training camp, to be honest. You can remember in training camp, we didn't have Matthews all through training camp. And then right around the time we got Matthews back, we lost Mikheyev. And then we dealt with different things along the way. So I just thought a combination of being healthy for the first time and we had two practice days leading up to a game day, is just thought it was the right opportunity for us to give a different look and have some time to adjust to it and get everybody comfortable with it. I think it's really important that we try some things like this. We have a good idea of some things that work really well that we can go to at any time, be it short-term fixes in games or if we just decide that we're not liking what we're seeing, we can adjust back. But I think it's important, and the health and the depth and the skill sets of our players that we have throughout the lineup give me greater flexibility, so I wanted to utilize that.
Sheldon, obviously your third pairing on the back end, young guys, you know, assess where they're at in their progression and, you know, if you're happy with them, you'd like to see more. And basically, you know, they're getting really well-earned experience on the job. Do you see, you know, a progression that you're happy with and, you know, and comfort level with that third pairing?
Yeah, I have been. You know, I think we look at it, you know, if we go back to the Ranger game there, and obviously, no Muzzin and Hall in a big game like that on the road against a very good team, and it was a huge opportunity for those guys. You know, Liljegren had spent a good, you know, good period of time playing with Muzzin previously, but it's different, as you would know. You know, when you're playing against a team like that on the road without having the insulation of a veteran and, you know, responsible defensive player like Muzzin, And I thought that those guys actually started that game really well, like our whole team did. And then just, you know, as our team broke down a bit, it made it a lot harder on those guys. And we saw that. But I really liked how they bounced back in another difficult building to play in, a different type of team in the Islanders, but extremely physical, very loud and combative fans, and an intense game. And those guys, I loved how they just played with poise. They knew contact and physicality was coming, but they made plays. They moved the puck up to our forwards and defended hard and well. So, you know, I look at those two as good examples of them bouncing right back versus allowing things to snowball. And I think that is a very important sign that young players have taken a step, because, you know, no player, regardless of your experience or your talent, is going to be great every single night. It's the ones that are more consistent and can bounce back quickly that stay in the league and can build a career. Those that allow things to snowball while they go back to the minors, generally speaking. So that was a really good sign for me where those guys are at.
Chatting with Sheldon Keefe, head coach of the Maple Leafs. You mentioned the Ranger game last week. You had comments about your team after that game that led to a lot of conversation in this city. Said that night that they played soft, your team played soft, played without purpose. When you make a comment like that or comments like that after the game, how much of that is directed solely at the effort that night and what you saw in that game that night? And how much of it is big picture, driving home a message for the end of the season into the playoffs, which is really what you're driving towards?
I mean, really, just I'm talking out of the emotion of that game. I think I referenced more than one time that, you know, today, that's how I felt we played, or today our play was, or we were. I'm more referring to that specific night. And that's really where I went wrong. And this is not only my choice of words, but leaving things open for interpretation. It's my job to be very clear and very direct about how I'm feeling, and not leaving things open for interpretation, in particular in a market such as ours. Things can get away on you, and that was on me. That's why I felt it was important to clarify when I had the opportunity the next day. Because really what I was getting at, and I wasn't even really making reference to the fact anything to do with our individuals. It was more about how we were playing as a team. And when we break down in structure, it becomes very easy to play against. And as a result, you end up leaving guys wide open at your net and you're given clear looks at your net, versus us really, you know, focusing on the defensive piece and having purpose in that. We just we're going to do whatever we can to defend our net and make it hard to get to the net through our structure and our layers that we have. And that's how we want to play. It's on me to be very clear with how I speak. I don't, certainly wouldn't change how I felt about our game and that, but, you know, obviously if you do it over again, you'd be more clear in how you speak, because I left things open to interpretation and things go awry when you do that. But really what I was referring to is just how we played as a team. You know, we referenced the young defense we had on that night, and we needed to play extremely structured and in groups of five to make it easier on our team and harder on the opposition. And when we don't do that, it becomes very easy to play against. And that's why that Ranger game, of all the ones that, you know, all the leads we've given up here in the last little while, stood out to me and was different. Because I just felt that we didn't adhere to the structure that's necessary to play within that. I mean, if we're playing against a team that just breaks us down and they end up finding their way back in the game, that's one thing. But when we don't adhere to the standards and habits that we need defensively, that's unacceptable. So it's on me to communicate that better to the media. I do think I was pretty direct and clear with our team, but when it comes to dealing with the media and my opportunities to address our fans and the media, I've got to, you know, do a better job of that.
No, you're good, bud. That's all good.
Well, I mean, I think you understand that it's a trigger word for the fans and the history of the team, your recent history in the playoffs. I don't think that's a surprise to you, Sheldon. I mean, it's a massive fan base. Everyone's split on, you know, where this team's going, what they've got, and what you're hoping to prove come playoff time. But in terms of the playoff messaging, like how often do you allow yourself to bring that up with your team during the regular season? Do you put the cart before the horse and use examples and say, if we play like that in game seven in the playoffs, we're in trouble? Do you do that, or do you just stick into the moment?
Well, we stick with the moment because our guys know what we're building towards. I mean, I don't need to throw it in their face every day. They know what's going on. They know why we're practicing the way we want to practice and why we're playing the way we want to play and what's required. I mean, never mind the playoffs. I mean, just to keep pace in our own division, this is how we need to play. So, you know, let's build towards building something that's sustainable. So when things get difficult, which they were the other night in New York, you know, we're playing. We've got some key guys out of the lineup. We're playing on the road against a good team that's going to push their way back, and the crowd's getting behind them, and all those things. Things are hard, so let's deal with this well. That's where we need to dig in even more and rely on our structure and play together as a group of five and support our goaltender. All those kind of things have to happen in those moments in particular. And, you know, I think for the most part this season, we've done a really good job of that. That's, you know, that in combination with the talent that we have has given us a chance to keep pace with the elite teams in the NHL. Wasn't to the standard that I thought was appropriate for that night or was needed, and that we need to have success over the long term when things get really difficult. And especially coming off of that, you know, Colorado, Vegas, St. Louis trip, came home. That was us kind of getting back into it, playing in full buildings again. You know, we hadn't played games for quite a while. We come home, we had some time to reset at home, a couple practices, and then we got out to New York. I was expecting us to play even better than we had been, and I thought our start was terrific. And I was obviously disappointed with how we responded after that. But we're moving on here as a group, and I think we'll be better having gone through that.
Sheldon, you mentioned your goaltender. I mean, Jack Campbell's been fantastic this season. Your schedule with the rescheduled games that have been postponed and stuff is going to get very, very busy down the stretch here. Do you have an idea where you want, you know, Jack to land as far as starts, you know, getting Peter in the net a lot more to get his confidence and consistency going? I mean, is there a thought process? Or you're trying, health obviously is a big factor, but, you know, you try and lay it out kind of week to week, or is it literally game to game just based on how things are so unusual within the COVID era, we'll call it?
Yeah, you know, we always sort of project things out, you know, week to week or even through the month. You know, we have a general plan that's right. One that we only, you know, it's really between the goaltending coach, Steve Breer, and myself, frankly. And we keep it that way because we know we're really going to address it day to day as we go through it. But you have a bit of a projection and try to make sure that you have a plan to manage things well. But we never really commit to it or don't communicate it to anybody else, including the goalies, until we absolutely need to, because we've got to monitor the goalies themselves, their health, their energies, what's happening with our team, all those types of things. So we fully expect and know that we're going to need two goalies. Even just our decision to play Mrazek the other night in Long Island, that's part of our plan. We need to get Peter more starts because before long they're gonna be coming. With great regularity. So we want to keep him moving and get our team comfortable playing in front of him, get him comfortable in the net. Yeah, that's important. Managing Jack's workload is important. It's been really challenging here since we've come back in January just because we haven't played a lot of games. So it's a combination of you need to get Mrazek going, but also Jack's been sitting for a good period of time between every game, even without playing Peter. So that's been a little extra challenge for both goaltenders, but, you know, the calendar is going to turn here soon and the games are going to come fast and furious and both guys have to be ready for that. We believe they will be.
With Sheldon Keefe, you guys got hit by COVID hard in terms of positive tests. As far as we know on the outside, it doesn't sound like anyone had a really arduous time going through it or a really difficult time going through it. But now that you're kind of through that wave, and not that everyone had to quarantine, not everyone has tested positive within the room and the organization, but a large majority, is there in a weird way a sense of relief now that you got through it? You know, you guys have can move on. I don't know how that affects daily testing and the way you operate, but are things different today in terms of the COVID approach and the mood because you guys are already through it?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, Brian. I think, you know, we've, as you said, we've been through the worst of this here. We've got a number of staff and, you know, a very small number of players that haven't yet been through it, but and those guys continue to test daily, but otherwise, you know, they call it a testing holiday or break or whatever they call it for, I believe it's at least 90 days. Nobody's testing. So it's a little extra peace of mind and a little more normalcy, if you will, to your day. So, yeah, I think there's some positive and peace of mind within that. I think most of the league is now pretty much at that point. And the fact that, you know, with rare exception, I suppose, there hasn't been too difficult of symptoms. So that helps. Obviously, we're still going through stricter protocols and stricter measures that the government and the league are putting in place that you know, you're adhering to, depending on what city you're in and all those kind of things. And obviously, we know the challenges we're going through here in Ontario specifically with no fans and mask mandates and stuff like that. But that's all part of it. And, you know, the fact that we get to continue to play hockey and perform for people is obviously a positive that we're grateful to have that chance.
Yeah, I think that's 100% accurate. Leaf fans, they may not be in the building, but they're watching for sure and following along. And you guys coming off a big win last night, back in action on the weekend. So best of luck moving forward. We always appreciate you finding time for us, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Sheldon.
Okay, got it.
There's Sheldon Keefe, the head coach of the Maple Leafs. Lots nice. To chew on there. Yeah, that was a good little chat.
Well, King went. You were pretty excited there. It was your double down, but it was. I liked his answer.
Had to take it down an avenue. That was your own little hot take.
Well, you brought up like. I mean,
come on. You know the market. You know.
We had talked about it.
I got to read on the market. That's just a fact.
You are the voice of the Toronto market. Yes,
that's right.
I mean, we hadn't talked to him since the comments from New York, so you brought it up, but I thought he gave a very elaborate answer.
He did.
That was his thinking.
That's why you asked the question. That's why you follow through. And you know, I thought within the answer, what he said was interesting too. He's like, playoffs are obviously part of the focus, and he doesn't have to hammer his guys with that. Everyone knows where they're going, but he said just to keep pace in our own division. You got to play at a certain standard, right? Because Tampa and Florida are doing what they're doing, and Boston's right behind the Leafs.
Dude, the quality teams, and it's going to be more apparent as we go down the stretch, it legitimately seems like they just win every night. Like, it's just...
Well, there's such a disparity. Like, the teams at the bottom that know it, too, especially coming out of COVID and stuff. Like, I think
especially now they're going to start dumping pieces, Hayes.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, you got to beat the hell out of them coming down the stretch.
Look at this division with Ottawa, Montreal, Buffalo. I think Detroit will trade pieces and tail off.
But that, like, the unfortunate part is the trade deadline still a ways away. Like, if they had the trade deadline earlier, I think you'd see the separation would be even more.
Because look at that list right from Detroit down to Montreal. Bad teams.
Yeah, it's just
bad teams.
You get Philly right now, you're like, all right, there's 2 points. You know, we'll see what happens tonight. But yeah, and honestly, if you look at the way it sets up, these are the three teams I think the Leafs are probably going to play. If it's within their own division, we know it's either going to be Florida or Tampa. If you're in the 2 or 3 seed, because Boston's not going to win the division. And I don't think Boston will battle into a position where they're into the, you know, the second seed, and the Leafs would be the third seed. So you're either playing Tampa, Florida, if you're in the 2-3 spot. If you drop to a wild card spot, you're either playing Tampa or Florida, or I think Carolina's going to win the other division.
Right.
So I think the Leafs at this point probably would look at it and say, we're either playing Tampa, Florida, or Carolina. That's your first round.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not going to be easy.
You're in for one. Yeah, sure.
You're in for one.
But,
for
you know, you can't. All you have to do, we'll get into it at 5 o'clock hour. What you need to do is be confident in your team. And I think you need to add a piece or two at the deadline to go, how do we stack up against the top? You know, and that's if we're there, or say we're, if Toronto was there, if Toronto was there, how do you stack up against those teams? The one team, and I still think it's like crazy, but I think the Islanders are still. They've got 47 games left.
They're so, but they're 500 though, Noodles. Like,
well, I think they're
like their points percentage is basically.
I think they're above 500, aren't they?
Yeah, they're if they are, they're right. They're basically on pace for like 82 points.
They could go on a heater.
They got to catch a real heater.
You do,
yes,
like a real.
That's the only one that I would say from the bottom there. Mm-hmm. Like they're a team that can get like they're a team that gets those like hey they got points in 11 out of 13 games because of the way they play.
Sure. Yeah.
And they probably got to start going back on the road again because they've been home it seems like forever after that 13 game road trip.
I mean,
then they just have played a zillion at home. They're going to get back to regular road like they could do it, but they got a big mountain.
Listen,
to
climb. They got to play like 750 hockey the
rest
you're
right.
of the way.
It's you're
not
right. No,
realistic,
I'm just saying,
but
like,
it's possible.
Yeah, like that's the only one I wouldn't count out from the bottom. That's the only one. And it's even a 10%, but it's at least.
And that doesn't affect the Leafs, right?
No,
that would be.
That's
a team
on the
that
Metro side.
Probably on the Metro side.
And that's really, that's where if you think five from the Metro could make it and three from the Atlantic.
I don't see it, though. I think Boston's better than the Islanders, personally.
I do too, but it doesn't, you know, I'm just saying, like, that's the only one that could challenge something into a wild card spot.